Well, man, it is good to see you this morning. As you're having a seat, grab a Bible if you have one. If you don't, you might want to grab one out of the back. There's Bibles everywhere here because we simply believe you need to be in God's Word. And the other thing you're going to need this morning, if you didn't already get one of these, you're going to need one. And in fact, if you don't have one of these, raise your hand and some really nice people will go find a few of those because you're going to need these and what's in them this morning. And so, we got some great servants around here, so thank you. Just keep your hand up. They'll get to you eventually, all right, and because you're going to want to have one of these. I mean, you can start by pulling out the notes, the sermon notes part in there that says transformed at the top. We'll get to some of the other pieces in that a little bit later. But isn't it great to know that you have a God that never fails? Never, ever, 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 ever fails us. He is always right, and he's always right on the money. So, all right, see, they're coming down. Just keep your hands up, and they'll get them to you. So the good news is we have a God who never fails. On the flip side, we are human, and we fail with great regularity. How many of you failed maybe even a little bit this week? Anybody? Yeah, we as humans fail, and to kind of demonstrate, and sometimes our failures have deep and devastating effects, and sometimes our failures, well, they're just flat out funny, right? And they remind us of our humanness. I got some pictures to show you this morning, and all these pictures, I did a Google search, and all of these came up under the search title, "You Only Had One Job to Do." Okay, you just had one job, okay? So could you just get the one job right, okay? So could you just you're painting the street, you only had one job, can you do it right? Maybe you need to go back, right? Maybe you need to go back, because to school, right? Maybe. Because if you don't get it right, this might happen, the next one. You know, luckily, a couple weeks ago, we said that it doesn't matter what order the letters are in, right? You can still, you know what to do there, but still, it kind of is. Here's another one that so here's the question. Who got it wrong? Was it the stripe guy or the tree planting guy? I don't know, but you only had one job to do, and this just isn't gonna work. Maybe they're motorcycle spots. I don't know. Then there's this one. This is great. Of all the places that you could, I mean, does that really serve any function there? And this one's good. You only had one job. And I'm thinking that the sign only came in like two pieces, right? And so you just had this one job to do. And kind of failed on that one. Here's another one. This is great. I love this one. The knowledge of architecture and planning. Oh, but see the C's over there because they highlight the planning part, you know, over there. What's really funny is they had enough room at the end over there for the C, right? Do you see the C on the wall? The College of Architecture and Planning. So anyways, here's another one. Just ponder that for a moment. You get taller as you walk down the stair, you know. So that one's classic. take a look at, you only had one job. Just get the colors, you know, just match the colors up. So we go down to South America. Sometimes they love mayonnaise down there. They're in big trouble, especially if that's spicy mustard. You only had one job, right? Okay, here's another one. They got all the way to charging this with neon, okay, before it worked. And so that's not working for them. Here's another one. Any of you who are soccer parents, or if you've ever been a soccer coach or referee, this one will just make you cringe, right? That's what happens when you have parents do the lines at like 7 in the morning, okay, before they have their coffee. Here's another one. This is classic. Again, I don't know who got there first, the fan installer or the video projector installer guy, but something's not working out okay there. Okay, next one. So Devin says when all the kids are crying at once, he kind of would like to just say go outside and play in a situation like, yeah. I mean, that I don't think that lip around the building is big enough to catch him. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe not. I don't know. Now this one's kind of scary. Now is that just so they can't see your face? I don't know. I don't know. And this one's especially good, especially for all you men in the room. This next one. And I'll let you ladies in on a little secret about men and men's restrooms. If there's a bunch of urinals on the wall, guys won't go to the one next to the other guy. They have to leave a space. So this one's, that just makes any guy kind of freak out. So there's oftentimes when we don't get it right. You only have one job. You just got one job, and sometimes we can't just get our one job right. And sometimes this even impacts the way that we do church. That sometimes, you know, we've got one job to do as a church, and that's to take this amazing message, this amazing gospel of the power of Jesus Christ and how he changes and transforms our lives to the world. That's our job. That's our one thing that we try to do. And sometimes we struggle to get that right because we're human, but there's a lot of factors that play into that. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at two verses of scripture in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And each week we've been reading it. I decided this week that we would read it in a different translation because sometimes I do that when I'm studying. It kind of helps me give a little bit more full view of what the scripture might be. And so this is in the New Living Translation. And so I want you to read this with me this morning. Read it out loud with me. And you'll notice, for those of you, because we've been doing it in the NIV for several weeks, this is a little different. So read this with me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Then don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so we've been camping out on these verses, understanding that God doesn't want us to just be like everyone else, not to conform to the way that the world does things, the way the world behaves, that we have a different way to live. We should be transformed, and God wants to do that by changing the way that we think. And so we need to do that. And so, but then again, it's not something that we just think about, because what we think about has to get translated into how we live and how we do things. And so what we've done over the last few weeks is we've been looking at what does a transformed life really look like? What does it look like? And so a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jim talked about what a transformed marriage would look like, and I watched the video because I wasn't here that week, and Pastor Jim is like kissing on his wife in service, and I was like, way to go, Pastor Jim, right? It's like, yeah, you go, buddy. And so, and then he said, and how do you have a transformed home? And, you know, and both of those things, marriage and home, it's by putting Jesus at the very center of those relationships. When we put Christ at the middle, he can transform it. Not doing relationships the way that the world looks at relationships, but looking at relationships the way that God designed them to be lived. And when we do it, there's harmony. Are we perfect? No, because there's two humans in the relationship. But we can find harmony, we can find peace, we can find amazing goodness in our relationships when God is involved and when he transforms the way that we approach them. And then last week, we looked at what it would look like to have transformed finances, because that's a big area in a lot of our lives. And so we looked at moving from, you know, instead of conforming to a world where we're enslaved to debt and where we live with greed and consumption and things like that, what would it look like to be transformed by God and to live lives as generous people, generous givers, and what would that be like? And we found that God wants to provide everything for us and give us all that we need so that we can be generous givers and how to live like that. And in just about every area of our lives, the world is trying to squeeze us into its mold. It's trying to tell us how to live in every area of life, but God's way is oftentimes diametrically opposed to the world's way. It's almost oftentimes just the opposite. And so we need to find out how it is that God wants us to live. And sometimes the world even tries to squeeze the church and how the church functions into its mold. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit today. One of our fundamental beliefs as a church is that the church is not a building. Church is not just the building, this place. You know, it's like maybe you woke up this morning and said, let's go to church, right? Well, it's not just come to this place, not just come to the building. The building's not the church. The church ultimately is the people. It is the gathered people of God, those who have put Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. And as we gather together, we are the church, and we have one job, which is to glorify God and to expand the message of His gospel to the rest of the world. That's our job. And so, in fact, for the first 300 years of the church's existence, there weren't church buildings. Okay, the church didn't even have, like, you couldn't go, well, there's the church over there and point to a building for the first 300 years. I mean, the United States isn't even 300 years old yet, folks. I mean, for the first 300 years, the church met in homes. It looks a lot like maybe our life groups that meet during the week in homes to study God's word together and to learn how to live together and to encourage each other and things like that. The church met sometimes like out in fields and in open places. Sometimes they met in places like caves or even underground because they were afraid of persecution for that first 300 years. But then something unique happened in 313, the Roman Emperor Constantine, in this act called the Edict of Milan, he said, okay, we're not going to persecute Christians anymore. In fact, he became one. And when Constantine said, hey, we're not going to persecute Christians anymore, in fact, he says, we're going to all be Christians. And he basically said, everybody in the Roman Empire, you're all going to be Christians. And if you say no, well, then you can die instead, right? And so he kind of pushed it on us. Now, there's been a lot of debate through the years with church historians and church theologians as to whether or not that move by Constantine was a good thing for the church or a bad thing for the church. Now, instantly you're thinking, well, of course it's a good thing because now the Christians weren't getting persecuted anymore. You got to understand that the church was thriving even under persecution. But when Constantine made Christianity the state religion, one of the things that happened that was a negative was that all of a sudden it started to kind of meld culture and faith. And so the church and state and everything just kind of got mixed together. And I know a lot of people today, it even seeps into the way we do things today. I know a lot of people today that would say, well, of course I'm a Christian, I'm an American. You know, there are some people just assume. You know, I mean, it says in God we trust on our money, things like that, you know. I mean, they just make these assumptions that way. And that's how it was back in that day. And if you're not really careful, we can allow culture and the way that culture works to seep in to the way that the church works. And so Christians, while they weren't being persecuted, they were starting to actually just get kind of lazy because it was just acceptable. You just went along with the flow, and culture began to seep in to what was happening. And so some of this, like I said, still impacts the way that we do church today. Sometimes we conform to patterns of the world rather than be transformed to be the church that God wants us to be. And to help us understand the difference between a church that conforms to the patterns of the world and a church that transforms into being truly what God wants it to be, we're going to take a look at the next verses after Romans 12, 1 and 2. We're going to take a look at a few of the next verses following that to kind of bring out some of what it looks like to be transformed. So Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this, I give each of you this warning. So Paul's saying this, hey, look, be transformed by the way you think. Think differently. Be who God wanted you to be. Be transformed. But then he says, but in all this transformation, there's a warning, okay? Because things might go this way. He says, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are, okay? You might be being transformed, but don't start thinking that it's all about you. Okay, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given to you. Okay, that's in the New Living Translation. The KLT, Ken Lamont Translation, it says this, it's not about you. Okay? You're being transformed, okay? If you're being transformed to live like Christ wants you to do, you need to understand something. It's not about you. Because some of us are thinking, oh, I'm going to be transformed so I'm just a better me. No, you're supposed to be transformed to be a servant of the living God, to be transformed into the image of his son, okay? Not to just be transformed to be just kind of a better me, okay? It's not all about me, it's about God and it's about his purposes. So it's not about me. And so for those of you who are taking notes, you know, it's not about me. And that's what a conformed church looks like. A conformed church thinks more about ourselves than about the mission that God has called us to. And the conformed church is a place, a conformed church might be a place, a building, where people come for their own purposes, their own enjoyment. In a conformed church, the focus is often on religious rituals, religious practices. And we can fall prey to that by just saying, hey, wait a minute, something went wrong. We didn't do the same stuff that we always do. And then somehow you don't feel like you've done your spiritual thing that day. I mean, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have serve day, and it's a whole different thing. We'll talk about that at the end of the message, but, you know, some people are like, hey, wait a minute, this isn't what church is. It actually really is what church is all about. Because church is not, or a conformed church is not about me, okay? It's about the mission that God puts us on. And it's not about just religious practice, okay? Or doing certain religious things to make you feel like you've earned the right to be in God's presence, or that you've earned your salvation or something like that. That's absolutely opposite from what God's word says. We don't earn it. God gives it to us by his grace. In fact, you may have heard it said before, you know, if you've had like a psychology class, or maybe you've had, you know, a philosophy class or whatever, some people will say, you know, like religion is a crutch for people who are weak, right? And those of us who are in the church, those of us who are followers of Jesus, we push back on that. We're just like, oh man, like no, that can't be, you know, religion is good and all these things. Well, I'm here to actually tell you that I think they might be right. Religion, just the empty spiritual practices, those actually might be a crutch for people who just want to feel better about themselves, for people who want to just kind of have a spiritual feeling or a spiritual fix in their lives. It might actually be that. But the reality is the church that Jesus calls us to isn't to just call us to religious practice. He's calling us into relationship with a living God. He's calling us to move past just, you know, these forms of practicing religion into a relationship through his son, Jesus Christ, so that we live with him and we allow him to impact our life, not just keep doing the same old religious things over and over and over and over again and get stuck in those things. A conformed church can often act like a social club or a civic organization, you know, like the Rotary or Lions Club. And those things aren't bad. They just have a different purpose than we have as a church. The church has a purpose. We have one job, and that's to proclaim the good news of life in Jesus Christ. The conformed church, it seeks to keep people comfortable. Like just, you know, let's all just be kind of comfortable with our faith and stuff like that. The conformed church preaches what people want to hear to kind of keep them happy, which totally goes against Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it says this. It says, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires," because it's all about them, "they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Okay? That's not what we want to be about. That's what a conformed church does. They just kind of tell people what they want to hear. Just keep everybody happy, keep everybody comfortable. But the reality is that's not what we're going to do, because we want to proclaim God's word. In a conformed church, people just walk in, they sit down, they listen, okay, kind of what you guys are doing right now, and then they walk out of this place and nothing really changes. Because we don't actually learn to live it out. We just kind of hear it and go, okay, well, that was really nice. I feel a little bit better this morning. But that's not what a transformed church does. Okay? A conformed church just kind of was happy to let you just sit there and kind of soak things in and whatever else. But that's not our purpose. Our purpose here is not to create or to develop churchgoers. Okay? Our purpose here is not to just, you know, get all the seats filled with people who just sit there, you know, pew sitters. That's not what we're about. In fact, the purpose of Newbury Park First Christian Church, in our attempt to be a transformed church, is to develop fully devoted followers of Christ who seek and save the lost, who get the gospel message out to people. And so, but a conformed church is just happy to let you just sit there. And walk out, and nothing really changes from week to week. But we want to be a transformed church. So what makes a transformed church different? What's a transformed church look like? In a transformed church, it's not about the religious activity, but a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not based on you having to earn anything, or you just marking out, okay, I went to church, so I'm probably okay now. But it's learning to live in His grace. And getting to know Him on a more and more personal level. In a transformed church, the Word of God is preached even when it's uncomfortable. In a transformed church, we like to say we like to comfort the afflicted, and then we like to afflict the comfortable. Okay? If you're just comfortable, and those of you who know me very well, I love to just nudge people a little bit closer to like that place where it's like, well, it's not just really comfortable. My faith isn't just a comfortable thing where I come and sit and can just enjoy it. And there are times when you need to just be comforted and things like that, depending on what's going on in your life. But I'm thinking for most of us, like we've said before, most Christians are educated way beyond our level of obedience. And we need to be pushed and prodded a little bit to get a little bit uncomfortable with our faith so that we truly live it out in a world that oftentimes is very hostile towards faith. And so we preach God's word even when it's uncomfortable. According to our passage in Romans 12, a transformed church is a body. Okay, it's a body that's united together. If you look in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says this. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So in a conformed church, you know, people think, oh, it's just about me. In a transformed church, we understand that we're in this together, that we need each other. That we need to encourage each other. We need to help each other. And so together is super, super important in a transformed church because it goes beyond just me and me feeling like I'm doing something spiritual to our job, which is to together transform. Okay, and next week we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to transform the world, so I won't let all that out today. But being together is a huge part of what being a transformed church looks like. It's, you know, in our culture today, it's really all about being an individual, isn't it? You know, be all that you can be. God would say, no, we need to be all we can be together because He wants us to be together. Together is super vital for the church, okay? And to demonstrate that a little bit, I brought some props this morning. I have on the stage with me this morning two totally identical bicycles, okay? Two, they're totally identical, except for there's one obvious thing. This one over here has orange handle grips, okay? And because it's our daughter Hillary's, it makes a little extra noise, okay? Okay, we love Hilly. She makes noise. We like that. She loves to sing and stuff. And so, but these two bikes are identical, right? But what's different about, I mean, everything else is identical. All of it is there. But what's the difference? Okay, well, they both have wheels. They both have all the identical parts. What's the difference? Yeah, one is all apart, and all the parts are kind of individual. This one is put, what? It's put. Ah, very good. So if you were going to have to choose, which one would you ride? Anybody? Which one? Which bike do you want to ride? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to guess this one over here, right? That one won't get you very far. Okay. Yeah, that one you're going to have to carry. This one over here, so I need a volunteer this morning. I need one volunteer who has decent balance and can ride a bike. Come on, just participate. Peter. Come on, Peter. All right, thanks, Peter. All right, so Peter, so why don't you take the bike there. Okay, wait. First, which bike would you rather ride? Hands down, right? Okay, good. Because it's together, right? Okay, so why don't you grab the bike, go ahead and put it down on the ground there, and hold on. Hey. Got to set a good example for the kids, okay? Got to get the helmet on, okay? So what I want you to do is just go for a ride around the church. Is there something wrong? What? Something's wrong, right? You're not getting very far, right? Okay, why? Because you're missing a part, right? Okay, so hold on. Anybody in the church have the part we need? Gigi. Okay, Gigi, come on up. Okay, because every part that the church needs is in the church somewhere. So here you go. So go ahead, Peter. I know you'll know what to do here. I have total confidence. And that's the tool. Okay, so just put that baby on there. It should be pretty easy to do. While you're doing that, I'm going to kind of keep preaching because that's what I do. So in a conformed church would let us settle for just all the parts being individual, just doing their own thing. In a transformed church, the church works together, okay? The church works together to do what God has called us to do. Okay, in a conformed church, it's just like, do your own thing. Yeah, church, you do whatever you'd like, and you do whatever you... No, in a transformed church, we're one body, and every part is important, and every part needs to work together. Because like you just saw, it can look like it's together, but if the parts really aren't together, if we're missing a part, then something's wrong. So here, I'll take the wrench. So now that it's all together, right? You got the parts in the right place? All right, go ahead. Go for a little ride this morning. Okay, there you go. All right. Oh, look at that. It works a lot better this way, doesn't it, Peter? Okay, yeah. Let's hear it for Peter. Okay, he's doing good. All right, he's even working the bell there. Nice touch. Okay, yeah, come on up. It feels a little weird to ride a bike in church, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. I took it for a spin this morning around here, and I thought, oh my gosh, if my mom saw me, I'd probably get in trouble for riding my bike in church. You can just park it right there. Let's hear it for Peter. Okay. See, in the same way, when we just all try to just be individuals and kind of like, oh, I've got my own religious thing, you know, it's like makes me feel better and this is how it works for me, okay, then this is what we end up with. And it's not real functional for transforming the world. It's not functional for doing the job that God called us to do. But when we're together, when we're one body and all the parts are fitting in the right place, we're able to get somewhere. And believe me, we need people to be using all of their gifts and abilities. In fact, you have a part to play. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are uniquely gifted. In fact, the passage goes on in verse 6 of Romans 12. It says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Okay, so if you have your Bible or something, circle well. Or certain, you know, depending on your translation. Okay, this is the NLT again. So, to do certain things well. Okay, everybody's got a certain gift. Like, for instance, okay, over here, we got a guitar. Now, some of you can play this. How many of you can play it well? Anyone can strum it, but we have a few. We have a couple who can play this and play this well, and if you can play this well, you should be up here playing it and playing it well, okay? I mean, we got these microphones, right? And now, anybody could get up here and sing, right? So how many of you would volunteer the person sitting next to you to come up here and sing? Yeah, see, a lot of you are like, please, no, don't do that, right? And some of you are like, yeah, and certainly the person sitting next to me shouldn't get up here because they can sing, but they just can't do it well, right? But God's gifted all of us to do something well, okay? There are people that do all kinds of things well around the church. There are some people that come during the week, and they're just amazing servants. And we have some people who know how to care for, you know, the church facility well. Okay? That we have people who stucco things when the stucco gets messed up, or who trim the bushes when the bushes get out of control, or who do all kinds of different things here in the church, and they do them well. Okay? And some of you wouldn't know the first thing about how to do that thing. But some of you do it really, really well. There's some of you, I mean, any of you could get up here and talk, right? But for some of you, that would be like a fate worse than death, right? Is to like get up in front of everybody. So you know what? So some people, we use different gifts and we use them well, but we use them together. And so one of the things that we want to do in being a transformed church is see everybody using their gift. Now, in this passage, he lists a few of the gifts. Now, there's lots of other gifts, but he lists a few things. He says this, he says, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. And he goes on, he says, if you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. That makes sense. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, well, then do it gladly. I love that. He says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. In other words, when you see other people doing what they do well, honor that. Say, hey, man, that is great. Encourage each other to do those things. And take delight in honor. Never be lazy. That's huge. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. This is what a transformed church looks like. It's people that come together to work together, to live out what it looks like to be people who trust in a God who never fails us, to trust in a God who has saved us. And in fact, right now, I want the people who are serving this morning, we'll go ahead and get ready to do that. And as soon as you're ready, we want you I'll give you a signal in just a minute to serve our communion time. But I want to give you just some quick application points. So how do we do this? How do we do this together? Well, number one is this. Again, in your bulletin, you have this cool little brochure, this handy little brochure that says opportunities to serve. Imagine how that got in there. So that's. It's because some people use their gift and they come in the office and they do these things and they help us get all this stuff ready. So there's lots of different ways that you could plug in. Now, not everybody should do all these, but there might be something in here that you could do. Maybe it's to come and help out at Five Loaves. Maybe it's property maintenance. Like I said, if you want a great job to just come and to serve the church, and you're like, but I don't want anybody to see, then come talk to us, man. We'll find a great place for you to do something. We would love to do that. One of the areas I would love to have, especially if you're newer to the church family, one of the greatest jobs ever is to come in and be a greeter. Because you will meet everybody. It's just an awesome, awesome job. And so if you can smile, okay, if you can smile really well, do it well, right, then you should do that. If you are always grumpy, don't be a greeter, please, okay? Or if you're one of those people that has to have coffee first, then that's why the coffee's brewing early in the morning here. So come get your coffee and then come greet, okay, or do something. But we have people, and they're amazing at greeting. What I hear all the time, what I love it because as a pastor, I love to hear when new people tell me, you know, the church is just very friendly. And I'm like, you know why? I'll tell you why. It's not a secret. It's because we have really nice people who are greeters, okay? Who are people who they know their role. Their role is to be really glad that you're here. And so they come up to you with a big old smile on their face and they're like, man, it's great to have you here. And they genuinely mean that. And it is great to have people here. But you know what? That could be a great place for you to serve. There's all kinds of other ways. I mean, men's ministry, women's ministry, children and students ministry. Now, in those areas, we actually have to like fill out a little application because we really, really take the safety and security of our kids super seriously. But still, we need to invest. We got to keep investing in the next generations because it is not going to get easier for our young people to be followers of Jesus in the culture that we live in today. And so we need people who are going to jump on board. We have people up at camp right now. Okay, we had a bunch of kids go up to camp. And we need adults who will be with them and just have fun with them and show them that being a follower of Jesus is super, super important. The other thing that you could do this morning, so you might want to pick one of these, or if there's something else you can think of, fill this little thing out, and then you can kind of just, you know, rip this end piece off, and you can put it in these orange buckets as you leave today, or there's the other little stand things, you can put those things there. If you have a question, if you're like, well, I'm not sure how this works, just write a note on there and drop it in the bucket. We will call you and say, all right, let's sit down and figure out how to help you get plugged in. Then the second thing, in terms of loving other people and loving our community as a transformed church going out to present the gospel, in 2 weeks, we have one of my favorite weekends of the year, okay? And it's Serve Day. Serve Day here at Newberry Park First Christian is a day that we just say, hey, we realize that it's not all about just coming in here and sitting in this room together, okay, on Sundays. We, on a Sunday morning, and I know some people are like, oh, I don't know, is this really church? Is this really what? Yes, it's church, okay? We will come together on March 18th. We will meet out in the amphitheater, okay, just outside here. If it's raining, we might come inside here. In fact, if it's raining, we might just go in the gym just because it's doing it a little differently. And so we want you to take this little sheet here and sign up to be on one of our serve teams, okay? Because what we're going to do is we're going to come to church, we're going to meet in the amphitheater, then we're going to have a really short worship time, and then we're going to send you out into the community in prearranged opportunities to serve somewhere. Okay, you could end up painting somebody's house or fixing their fence or, you know, washing their windows. We have different elderly people in some of the trailer parks around that just, you know, they need a battery changed in their smoke detector, or it could be just about anything. But it's our opportunity to say, hey, we love our community. And what we've been saying over the last few weeks is we want you to be spotting things that need to be done. If you have a neighbor that needs help with something, okay, let us know. We want to help your neighbor. Why? Because it gives your connection, okay, a little bit of oomph, right? To say, hey, yeah, we've seen this happen where people say, like, who are all these people and what are they doing? And we're like, well, these are people are from my church and they're just here to help. And we've had people say, well, I'd go to a church like that, you know. And then it helps you have a conversation with them and to explain the message of Christ and why we love other people, even sometimes we don't even know. If you're going around town this next week and you're like, man, that thing over there is an eyesore, somebody ought to fix it, you need to call us and say, hey, I spotted this thing. Maybe, you know what, it's not about us like getting the credit for it, it's about loving our community. And so we'll get out there and we'll do whatever we can do. And so what we need you to do this morning, okay, and this always happens. People come to Serve Day, and it's okay. You can still show up if you didn't sign up, but we want you to sign up, okay? We want you to fill out that little form, put your name on, say, hey, we're going to be here. You can serve as a family. There will be things that your family can do together, okay? It might just be going somewhere and, like, for an elderly person, like, pull some weeds or do something like that, wash some windows. It could be just about anything. If you need a job where you're not doing something physical, okay, for health reasons or whatever, we will have jobs where you actually can, you know, help us by sitting down and preparing some stuff for some of our Easter events and things like that. There will be something for everybody to do. So there's no good excuse for saying, like, well, I'm just not going to, you know, participate. When the body works together, we get a whole lot accomplished. And so we want you to do those things. And so right now, you know, we want to come together because ultimately, at the end of the day, we are together because of what Jesus has done for us. And so I'm going to ask right now for the servers to go ahead and come on forward and to serve the emblems. And this morning, talking about being together, I want you to take the emblems of communion, the little piece of bread and the cup, and we want you to just hold on to those for a minute. We're going to all take those together. Okay, so just take those emblems and hold on to them. In fact, Peter, if you can bring me some, that would be great. Or here, we got it. Thanks, Josh. Because, you know, we're not together just because we live in the same community. We're not together just because we like the idea of church. We're not just together because we share some things in common. We're together because the thing we really have in common is that we want to be fully devoted followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is really Him that brings us together. And you know, the people out there in our community, there's a lot of people. My kind of conservative count, as I look at some of our demographics and talk with other pastors in the area, within about a 10 to 12 mile radius of this spot right here, there's somewhere between probably, I'm guessing, 80 and 100,000 people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that tells me that our job's not done. We've got stuff to do. And we will do this a whole lot better if we do it together. If we just learn to serve together and love our community together. And the reason that we do that is because we had a God who first showed His love to us. In our sinfulness, in our own desperation, when we were a mess, God reached down and said, "You know what? I love you, and I'm gonna die on the cross so that your sins could be forgiven. And so that you could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father." Folks, that's what really brings us together and makes us the church. Is putting our trust and our faith in a God who never fails us, even to the point where He sent His own Son for us. And this really is our focus. Our focus together and getting this message out to the world. That's our one job. And He doesn't fail us, and we don't want to fail Him, so we want to do everything we can to get the message of hope in Jesus out to the rest of the world. He extended His compassion on us through the cross so that we could take that message to the rest of the world. And we really do it best when we do it together. So this morning, let's take these emblems together. Let's take the bread that represents His body that was broken for us. Let's take that together. And this cup represents His shed blood that He shed so that our sins would be forgiven and we could have eternal life. So let's take the cup together. And as a church family, just if you would, just reach out and grab the hand of somebody that's sitting next to you. Just as a kind of symbolizing that, hey, we're in this together. And let's pray and ask God to use us and to use us together. And this morning, if you're here and you haven't made Christ Lord of your life, if that's something you know you need to do, then I'm going to be up here later. I would love to talk to you about that. Because He wants to transform you. And He wants to transform us. And He wants His message of love to get to the rest of the world. And He's going to do it through us. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, You're good. Your love for us is amazing. Your grace, Father, we can hardly fathom it. But God, I'm thankful that Your mercy for us, that Your mercy was new today. That every way that I messed it up this last week, that God, you've covered that in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, my prayer this morning is for the person who's here that doesn't know You yet, that they might reach out and find You and make You the Lord of their life, knowing that You're a God who will never fail them. And Father, together, my prayer is that You will bind us together as Your church, transform us into a body that will be effective for Your purposes in the world. to take this message of love and grace to a world that is desperate. God, it's falling apart without it, and you know that, and we know that. We just pray, God, that you would unite us together so that we can take this message of love and of truth to a world that is desperate. Father, help us to start right here in our community. Father, show us places where we can serve together. Show us how to love one another. Show us how to love our neighbors. And use us to transform this place for your glory. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we love you. Pray that you would build our lives together in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.